Well, praise God.
Praise God.
Let's get our Bibles this morning. It's good to see everybody here. I'm thankful that you're here this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. Over the years, there's been a few times where it's been thinner than this morning, so it'll be all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Praise God. You say, how? I don't know how, but it's going to be all right. Praise God. I want to try to help someone here this morning and try to help all of us. And I want us to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. And I've got my trusty reader up here this morning. We need some enthusiasm and excitement. Praise God. That's why I picked Micah and Brother Micah, I'm sorry. And appreciate this family. Appreciate our pastor and his wife and their children. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now let's go to Chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, there's the principles again, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Praise the Lord. I just feel like on the first Sunday of the month that I'm able to be here and minister the Word of God, I want to talk about the principles of the doctrine of Christ.
All right.
And it's going to be a teaching session here this morning, but I want you to know that God can move and God can fill someone with the Holy Ghost this morning. God can touch us in a mighty way if we'll just reach out and get a hold of what the Word of God wants to say to us. Amen. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for truth this morning. Thank you for the blessing. We're so blessed by the Word of God, so blessed by the church. We give you thanks this morning. We give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, anoint the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. I want to talk about repentance from dead works. And I know we've heard some of this, and probably most of this, the pastor has already taught, ministered, and preached from. But I do believe that Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul, and so we're on the same page there. And I believe this morning that he was writing to the Hebrews. And he told them, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. And so these are things that we've got to have settled in our heart, because over time we can lose them and we can go another direction. But we don't need to go another direction. We need to stay on the foundation that God has given us. And when we stand on that foundation, it's going to be strong from now on. Because I don't want to be a flash in the pan. Amen. I want to make it all the way.
Amen.
Praise God. And I know you do too. Praise God. And he listed repentance from dead works as the first in the list of doctrines given to us. And the reason being is that repentance has got to be worked out in order for us to go higher. Amen. Repentance is really a foundational belief and a foundational what should I say, a foundational work based upon that belief that we've got to establish in our life. I don't believe, and I've been serving the Lord now close to 50 years, and I don't believe that we can ever get away from repentance. Amen. The Bible says His mercy endures forever. And why does His mercy need to be there forever? Because we're failing. Amen. We trip up and we fall and we've got to have repentance. Amen. But when we have repentance, He is there to forgive us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And repentance has got to be worked out first in wherever you're coming from. If you're a saint of God and you've been in the church most of your life, you still got to work out repentance in your life.
Yeah.
Or if you're just someone that's coming for the first time, you've got to work out repentance in your life.
Right. Yes,
amen. It's very, very vital. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm going to read some of these, Brother Michael. Is that one on there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Read for us.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Praise God. Well, this is a what I call a scriptural definition of repentance right here.
Right.
Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Praise God. Everybody said crucified.
Crucified.
Well, thank God. He was crucified because we don't have to be crucified now in the physical, real sense of the word, but we must be crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. And so when we look at this, I'm going to just get off here for a second. But when we look at the gospel, I know that probably most of us here this morning, if I were to ask you, what is the gospel? And I've asked many, many people over the years, what is the gospel? And they just say, it's good news. Well, it's not good news. It's going to be in the 60s today. That's good news. But it's not the gospel. Amen. And so it's more than good news. It is good news.
Yes.
But the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. He came and he died. He was buried and he rose again. And we'll get into this more as I get into this series here. But the old man must be crucified with him. Amen. It's with him. And that's repentance. Repentance is when we crucify our life. Amen. Everything that we are, we hang it up. Praise God. And we say, I'm not living this way anymore. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen. And the death on the cross, his death on the cross, was not a beautiful thing, but it was the truest picture of what we need to go through in order to have a resurrection. Amen. There's got to be a death and a burial before there's a resurrection.
Yes, that's right.
And so many people today are trying to get a resurrection experience in the power of God, but they're not willing to repent. Amen.
Yeah.
Not in a true biblical sense of the word.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that. Amen. We've got to die with him, meaning that we've got to die out to the old self or the old man, the old lifestyle, the old way of living.
Yes.
Amen. The things that we are doing that are not pleasing to God. Amen. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry, and I'm going to get into that here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is a matter of repentance, which means to turn and to go a different way. The Greek word is metanoio, and it means to turn, to go in a different direction. John chapter 12 and verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen. So we know then that the penalty of sin is death. And we can die now here in this life and give our lives to God, or we can serve our our flesh, and we'll find a eternal death. Amen. And I don't want to be under that eternal death. I want to send my sins on ahead of me. Amen. I don't want them following me around. Praise God. Genesis 2 and verse 17.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Thou shalt surely die. And we know that Adam and Eve did not die a physical death, but they died a spiritual death. Amen. They were separated from God. Amen. And yet there was something that had to cover them, because they immediately knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to cover their sin, if you please. But in Genesis 3 and verse 21, if you don't have that, I'll read it. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Amen. It was recently, I was meditating on this, and I kind of got the idea what kind of animal it was that died to cover their nakedness. And I think it was a lamb. Amen. I think it was lamb skins. Yeah. And would keep them nice and warm and cover their sin. But just by the connotation here that God made coats of skins, something had to die. There was blood that was shed in order for their sins to be covered and their nakedness to be covered. Yes. Praise God. God has made a way for us this morning.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He has made a way for us. We are literally covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we come to Him in repentance, amen, He will accept us, praise God, as long as we are doing it the right way. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to look at an Old Testament scripture, and if you will indulge us here this morning, it's a little bit of a reading in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 21 through verse 29. Have you got your breath this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. Read for us.
But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. And his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say that the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the Lord, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a little bit of a reading, but there's a lot about turning in there. Yes. Returning and turning away from. And that is the key word in these verses. This was given to Israel around B.C. 593, which was very close to the time of the Assyrian and the Babylonian invasion and destruction of their country. And God was literally reaching out to them. He was calling to them by the mouth of the prophet and saying, I need you to repent. God loves us, but he cannot overlook sin. Amen. We've got to deal with sin. You've got to deal with sin. I've got to deal with sin. Amen. Because if we don't, there will be sure destruction in our future. And God was giving them the only remedy, the only situation, which was repentance, and found here in the word turn. And the next verse lays it out, Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. I'll get that one. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent, and so we know now that he was talking about repentance. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Amen. And so repentance is very, very important. It's essential. Yes. It is a basic principle of the doctrine of Christ. It is a part of the foundation upon which we stand.
Yes. Right.
We've got to understand repentance. We've got to work out repentance in our lives. Amen. And that does not mean that you just say, I'm sorry, but repentance is turning from. Amen. If there is a besetting sin in your life, amen, you've got to get rid of it. Amen. You've got to take steps, whatever those steps are, to move away from that and to turn from that, or it will not be genuine repentance. Many scriptures talk about repentance. Jesus spoke of it in Luke 13, verses 1 through 5.
There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen. That's the words of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Very, very powerful words there. We can look at the sinner and we can see the trouble that they're in, the towers that fall upon their lives. And we can say that's because they are sinners above all other sinners. But except we in the house of God, except we repent, we will all likewise perish.
Amen.
It's so very, very important that we work this out in our lives. And to pave the way for his coming, the Lord sent John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I think this is my scripture here. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Now, I want to talk about John and his message here just a little bit. But I wonder how we would feel, and this was God's way at this particular point in time. John the Baptist had one message. That's an easy ministry right there. One message, and you just go around preaching that one message. Somebody said one time they had one message and 50 titles. Amen. Amen. John had one message and one title, repent.
Yeah.
And whenever you saw him, you thought, repent. Amen. He was very forceful. He was a more than real, if you please, but he came preaching repentance.
Yes.
I wonder how we would all feel if that's the only message in 27 years that the pastor preached. And every time you came to church, it was repent. Amen. I think we'd probably get tired of it. Or we would say, I got it, I got it, I got it. Amen. Hopefully. Praise the Lord. But Isaiah talked about it, and it's more than just repent in the sense of turning and saying, I'm sorry. Isaiah prophesied of him, Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5.
the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Yes.
Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. This is the voice in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist. And the way that we prepare our life to receive God, he said here that we should make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Yes.
And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't want him to go down the road into our life strewn with all sorts of debris.
Amen.
With all sorts of potholes.
Come on.
Amen. With all sorts of troubles, tree laying over the road, whatever. A relative of mine who has passed on many years ago, he said, the Lord knows where I'm at. If he wants me, he can come and get me. And it doesn't work that way, friend. No, we've got to prepare the way for him to come to us. And so he said here, every mountain and hill shall be made low. And so the mountains of pride have got to be brought down before he'll come into our life. Praise God. Pride is a very, very destructive thing. Amen. It's a very, very destructive thing. And it brings depression. He said, every valley shall be exalted. You're going to have to take some dirt and fill up the valleys of your life. Amen. Sin causes us to go into some deep, dark valleys. But we've got to fill that up. Amen. And he said the rough places are made plain, and sin produces rough places that got to be made plain, got to get the boulders and the rocks out of the way. And they can only be done with sincere repentance. Repentance turns us from sin and into the direction of the glory of God. I believe that there has not ever been a revival in this world that was not preceded by a genuine repentance.
Amen. Yeah.
A genuine repentance. I know that he was not apostolic in doctrine, but I think it was D.L. Moody preached a message in either Illinois or Indiana. You can look it up for yourself. And after he preached his message, 600 bars closed down. That's repentance. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
We got to shut some things down in our life when we hear the message of eternity. Amen. And so repentance is turning to God. And I've used this many times. We turn away from sin and we turn to God. Amen. It doesn't mean, though, that we're perfect. We can't be perfect, but we have to turn ourselves, turn away from sin and start towards God. And the light of God may be very dim, but as we walk toward the light, it gets brighter and brighter. Praise God. And the darkness is further and further behind us. Praise God.
Yes,
and there's only one cure for all the sins of our world, and it's repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Repentance. And Paul uses the word sorrow as a way to convey this situation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. We'll look at a few things here.
For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance.
Yes.
For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, mm-hmm. not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
Amen. Don't we want to be clear in this matter? When we come to God, we want to be clear. When we come to the house of God and lift up hands, they should be holy hands. Praise God. And so Paul talks about repentance here, and he talks about sorrow. And he said, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. And so sorrow precedes genuine repentance. And he said there's two kinds of sorrow. One is godly sorrow. Everybody said godly sorrow.
Godly sorrow.
And then there is the sorrow of the world. Yeah. Amen. Worldly sorrow. And you can find that in many, many places. The sorrow of the world is when we sin and we say, I'm sorry, but then we go back and do it again. And then we say, I'm sorry, and we go back and we do it again. There's no change of direction. There's no change of lifestyle. Amen. But we just keep on doing it. And I think it just pacifies our mind a little bit. When we say, I'm sorry, that takes care of the matter. Well, sometimes it doesn't take care of the matter. Sometimes you got to go home and clean the house. Well, praise the Lord. Some books and some magazines need to go out in the trash. Well, praise the Lord. It's a something that needs to be done. Amen. And if it's a big deal, you might need to get rid of your cell phone. Well, it's the modern day tree of life, of the knowledge of good and evil. Almost said the tree of life. Amen. And there's no coincidence that it was developed by somebody that called themselves Apple with a bite out of the apple. Well, praise God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. That's the pastor's job. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he said, what carefulness it wrought in you. And that word carefulness in the original means speed. Speed or earnestness. Amen. What carefulness. And it means diligence, forwardness, or haste. Amen. I've got to take care of this business right now. Amen. That's carefulness. What clearing of yourselves, he said. And that means to answer for yourself, or literally it means a plea or an apology. Amen. Well, before you apologize for something, you've got to admit that you've done something. And sometimes it's very, very hard to admit and to be honest with yourself. Praise God. I was in Salt Lake City, sitting in a restaurant in a nice restaurant in a hotel with a man from our church when I pastored in Massachusetts, and a lady came out with a harp, and she sat down and she started to play this harp. It was very beautiful, and as she began to play the harp, he broke down, this man that was with me, one of the men in our church. He just broke down and began to weep. I mean, I'd never seen him weep before. And I said, he had to get up and go to the bathroom and get his composure. And when he came back, I said, Brother Bob, what's going on? What's wrong? He said, that music reminded me of my childhood. And he said, my parents were so mean to me. And I said, well, Brother Bob, you've got to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, why is this upsetting me so bad? And his answer, I still remember it to this day. He said, it's so hard to be honest with yourself. When we look in the mirror, what do we see? Praise God. Well, I'm staying on this a little bit too long. But there has to be an apology.
Yes.
Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Do we have that one? All right. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses, everybody said confesses.
Confesses.
And, everybody said and.
And.
It's not just a confession. Forsaketh. Everybody said forsake.
Forsake.
Get it out of my life. Amen. He shall have mercy. And that's what we need this morning is mercy.
Yes.
What indignation. I'm still looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. What indignation. And that means grief. To be greatly afflicted. Amen. Displeasure. And that's not displeasure with other people, but it's displeasure with ourself.
Amen.
Amen. What was I thinking? Why did I go down this road? Amen. And you'll find out a lot about yourself if you'll ask those questions. True repentance will cause us to experience anger against the enemy of our soul, Satan.
Yeah.
Amen. Who's engaged in causing all men to sin and be lost eternally. But there's more to it than the devil. It's your flesh. Praise God. And it's a very powerful thing. Paul said, and what fear, amen, that means alarm or fright, to be afraid exceedingly. I remember when I got the revelation of eternity, and I got the revelation that I was not saved. Everywhere I went, when I'd come up to an intersection, I'd look three or four times. Literally, I was afraid. I was fearful. When I come to railroad tracks, I would look several times. And I was so very afraid. Amen. Sometimes we're so bold and so full of pride that we can't be afraid.
Right.
Amen. Oh, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Maybe it isn't going to be all right.
Yeah.
Vehement desire. What vehement desire? This is all part of repentance here.
Right.
And it means a longing for or an earnest desire. Amen. Do you earnestly desire God in your life?
All right,
if you do, you'll find a place of repentance on a regular basis.
That's right.
Oh, what zeal. Amen. And that word means, in properly, it means heat. Zeal. Jealousy as of a husband. Amen. Or of an... let's see here. We'll just use those definitions right there. But zeal, I'm going to do this. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to put my whole heart into this.
Right.
Amen. You can't come to God casually.
Right.
What revenge, and that means vindication or retribution or punishment. Amen. We're not going to punish ourselves, but we can punish the enemy of our soul. Psalm 149, verse 1 through 9.
Yes. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be careful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
Well, praise God. When we fall and we sin and we go to God in repentance, then we need to punish the enemy of our soul.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And we do that with praise and worship. Amen. You say, well, I can't praise God because of what I've done. You need to praise God. You need to praise Him for the grace that He is extended to you. Amen. And the mercy that He has extended unto you. Scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, amen, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Amen. And I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. I guess you could look at it a couple of different ways. Amen. Psalm chapter 35, it's verse 1 through 6. I'll let you look that one up, Brother Micah. Everybody said, God bless Brother Micah.
God bless Brother Micah.
Amen. He's helping me here this morning. Psalm chapter 35, verses 1 through 6. And it lets us to know what we can do in this area of revenge.
Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me.
Mm-hmm.
Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help.
Yes.
Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt.
This is talking about the devil. All right, go ahead.
Let them be as chaff before the wind, mm-hmm. and let the angel of the Lord chase them.
Chase them. Amen. And in another place it says, let them persecute them. Amen. We can have revenge against the enemy of our soul. And so when we look at it here this morning, we can see that the Bible is full of teaching when it comes to repentance.
Yes.
It is a foundational principle in our foundation of our relationship with God. Amen. Before the priest in the Old Testament could come near to the Lord, he had to offer a sacrifice on the altar of sacrifice. Death was required, and the sacrifice to be burned up. I was thinking about this as I was looking at all these scriptures. I wonder how many millions of sheep and goats and bulls and all of those goats in the Old Testament were slain because of sin. Because of sin. Millions, no doubt. But all it could do was push it forward another year until that sinless sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, amen, was more than all those sacrifices put together. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Thank God for that this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. I'll just go ahead and read it. I didn't put some of these scriptures down because they were short. Acts 5, verse 31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, what that really means is that repentance is an opportunity that God gives us. We don't necessarily have the luxury to say, tomorrow I'm going to repent. Next year I'm going to repent. We don't necessarily have that option. When they heard this, Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. True repentance is a gift from God. Are you thankful today for that? Amen. And I believe that there is a season of time that God gives us. Revelation 2, verse 20, through 23. I know we've got a lot of scriptures here this morning. I guess I didn't have that one down. There's two pages there. Oh, they're done already. We're freewheeling at this point. All right, go ahead.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds.
Yes, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give to every man according to your works. Praise God.
Amen.
So much for this works thing. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But he gives us a space of time. If you're living in sin this morning, I just urge you, beseech you, beg you, find a place of repentance.
Yes.
Find a place of repentance.
Amen.
And get it right with God. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Praise God. Amen. We've got to answer that call. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Would you stand with me this morning? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody said all, that all should come to repentance.
Yes, yes.
That all should come to repentance. And if you look in the book of Hosea, I know you've probably been there this week, the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and verse 15, he talks about a valley of hope, and it is the valley of Achor. He said the valley of Achor is a valley of hope. And you say, well, what is the significance of the valley of Achor? That is the very valley where, what was that guy's name?
Achan.
Achan and his family were stoned to death because he had transgressed God's laws. And they went to the city of Ai, little name, little town, and they were beaten by the Aiites. Praise God. And Joshua went to the Lord, and the Lord said, there is sin in the camp. And he went down the list, and he finally went to Achan. And he said, Achan, worship God.
Yeah,
worship God. Worship God. And he said, I can't because I've sinned.
Yeah.
And he said, take them down to this valley. Stone them with stones that they die.
Yeah.
And God restored the power to Israel, and they defeated their enemies.
Yeah.
I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. It is our only valley of hope. Our only hope is that God will grant us repentance.
Yeah.
Repentance is where we destroy that which is against God in our lives. It's the valley of hope. It is a place of death. Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for this repentance, Lord, the opportunity to come to you in sincerity and in truth, to cast away the things in our lives that are not right before you, the thoughts of our mind, the thoughts of our hearts, the actions and the deeds that we do. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity daily to find a place of repentance and to find mercy and grace. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I pray for each and every one here this morning, Lord, that your heart would be attached to their heart, that you would help us, Lord, for we're weak. We're weak. We're just dust this morning. We need you desperately, Lord. We need your hand upon our lives. Touch these young men this morning. Oh, God, help them. Help them to see the opportunity that they have to turn themselves to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need to find a place of repentance, amen. Just find it this morning. Get it right with God. Turn your heart to God. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. I'll heal the land and I'll save them and I'll bring revival to their lives. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you this morning.